Hey, beautiful. This is Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am the host of the Mother Tree Network, where spirituality and earth wisdom meet racial justice and women's leadership.
Hey, gorgeous. There are so many gems in this conversation that I have with Terry Schmidt. I cannot wait for you to listen. So Terry Schmidt is the founder of Stronger to Serve, a startup that supports women in leadership. And I asked Terry to come on to the show because I saw her post somewhere in LinkedIn where she was asking people, what's your impossible? What's that impossible thing that you're taking on that you're, dedicating your life or your day to? And I was like, man, that is a good question. So when I interviewed Terry for this show, I asked her about an Ironman competition that she completed where she said, you know, that had been her impossible, where she swam 2 miles, biked 112 miles, and then ran an entire marathon all in one day. I just couldn't believe that. She said that, you know, at first it seemed impossible to her, but by taking consistent daily action, she was able to do it. I was like, are you for real? I mean, honestly, could anyone do that? And then when we talked about it on the show, Terry said that before she did any of the, you know, technical things you do to prepare for something as hard as an Ironman, she first had a conversation with God because she didn't know how she could do something like the Ironman, which takes your entire focus for at least a year when she had 2 small children at home. And I love what Terry said, the answer she got from God when she brought this up in prayer. She said the answer was, make it about more than you. Make it about being your best as a family. And I love that. I love that idea about, you know, somehow the thing that you fear is going to take away from your family. Well, what if you can do it in a way that it benefits your family? And, you know, what if that thing that you really love to do, like maybe it's art or it's singing or it's, you really love to talk to plants. What if you can make it about more than just you? What if you can make it about elevating, you know, the whole planet? What if you could just put it inside a bigger purpose? So I love this conversation with Terry, and, I think you're going to love it too. The other thing I just want to highlight is, you know, Terry coaches leaders on how to become leaders. So she works with women who are just starting their first leadership position. And she recommends that if you are a leader and you're just starting out, or even if you've been doing it for a while, that you start noticing your strengths and your values. Like really notice what you are good at and that you love to do. And then build around your strengths so that you fill out. Not that you try to make yourself into someone who you're not, but rather you look at yourself as part of a team and create that community of support with people who have other complementary skills and values and energies. So, for example, I am a morning person. I wake up. I like to move. It's my brightest time of the day. But I know people in my family, but also colleagues who I work with, and they are night people. They like the nighttime. So the opportunity then is to, you know, combine your efforts with someone who complements you in that way. We cannot all be the same. We all are different and we need different energies. So I think you're going to love this episode because it's like full of little tidbits like that. And besides that, Terry has also given us a special gift for listeners of the Mother Tree Network. And it's her download of Values and Strengths workbook. So it's a free download and it's a workbook that helps you to identify your strengths and your values because this is the core upon which you want to build. All right. See you on the other side, gorgeous. You can find that download in the show notes, dramandakemp.com. If you just want to go to my website, dramandakemp.com. And I want to remind you, we are sharing freely with no cost the presentation, Five Signs It's Time to Pause or Pivot Your Social Justice and Regenerate. This is a fabulous presentation discussion that I'm leading live for the Mother Tree community and folks like you. So please just go to the website, dramandakemp.com, and look for Five Signs It's Time to Pause Your Racial Justice and Regenerate. All right. See you on the other side.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Dr. Amanda Kemp, and I am here with a beautiful, beautiful leader, Terry Schmidt. And we're going to be talking about what's good in the world today, but also, you know, what it feels like to lay down something that you really care about, to start something new, what it feels like to go for something impossible. So, Terry, I cannot wait to start this conversation. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for welcoming me to come on.
Yes, yes. It's really been a pleasure to get to know you better. After you and I had already agreed that you would be on, I actually started to get to know you better. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad she's coming. So Terry, tell us, what is good? What's good for you today?
Yeah. So I right now am doing an event that I am really excited about just because it combines three of my passions. And so I discovered an organization called Together Women Rise, and they support women and girls across the world. And so I decided, you know, I want to do something for them. So I'm doing this Coaching for Good event where if anyone makes a donation to them, they let me know that they did it, and I will give them a free 45-minute leadership coaching session.
Wow. So, I love that model.
I'm really excited about it. So it's going until May 10th. So it may, depending on when this airs, may still be going on or not, but, I'm just really excited about it. And I anticipate it'll probably be something I repeat in the future as well.
And the name of the organization that you're supporting is called what?
Together Women Rise.
Oh, Together Women Rise.
I just did a podcast episode with one of the co-founders and the CEO on my podcast, Strong Leaders Serve. And it's just an amazing story. It started at one dinner party, and now they have 350 chapters around the world, and they have just impacted millions of lives of girls and women across the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now I have to ask you this question. A few days ago on social media, Terry posted about doing an Ironman. And I was like, I can't believe you could run. What is the Ironman? Tell us so we can really appreciate it.
Yeah. So you start by swimming 2.4 miles and then you go to the bike and you ride for 112 miles. And then you get off the bike with nice sore legs and you run a marathon.
Okay, I knew it because I was like, wait, I read it twice because I was like, wait, do you do that in one day? In one 24-hour period?
Yes, yeah, one after another. So
wow. So that's when I wrote back to you, like, I'm just amazed. And then you wrote back to me and you said, Amanda, what's your impossible?
And
that question has been sitting with me for days now. Like, what is my impossible? It's kind of crazy how it's possible to get so realistic or caught up in the short term that you don't actually have something impossible that's long, long term that you're building for. So I guess I just want to talk with you about that. Like, I don't know. Like, why did you want to do an Ironman? And why was that your impossible?
Yeah. And, well, I have to kind of blame my husband for it. He did the first one. He grew up watching the national championship on TV. Mm-hmm. They do that in Kona, and he decided to do one in 2014. And I saw him doing it, and I not only saw him, but I saw everyone else who was doing it, different shapes, different sizes, different people just able to conquer that immense feat. And I said, I was at a point in my life where I didn't really feel like I followed through on much. And so I wanted to put this big challenge out, and just discovered through it the power of small, consistent steps over and over again, because you don't start running a marathon. You start running or walking 2 miles, but you build up and you build up, you build up, and you stay consistent with those steps, and you can do amazing things. So I applied that to a lot in my life after that.
I'm looking at Terry with some incredulation, because really? If you start walking 2 miles, you could actually run a marathon?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it takes time, of course, and it takes commitment, because you have to get just a little bit better every day, but you can do it.
Well, how long did it take you to build up to this?
So I trained formally for about a year. So,
and informally?
I was involved in sports in high school, and, so I had a little bit of a base. Mm-hmm. I was active to start off with, but definitely not capable of doing that feat.
Mm-hmm. And now that you've done that impossible, do you have a new impossible that you're working on?
Yeah, I do. And it really relates to my company and my job now. I'm a leadership coach, and I have a vision of a workplace full of compassion and justice, a place where everyone is able to reach to discover first and then reach their full potential. So I know, those words may seem a little bit fluffy, but I really believe that we all have unique strengths and unique contributions to make. And it's about, how do we remove barriers to people being able to realize that and contribute in that way? Because, for example, when you have a workplace that has diverse voices that are respected, mm-hmm. and sought out, that's when you start getting innovation. That's when you start getting business results. Mm-hmm. That's when the corporate workspace or any workspace can become a force for good instead of a force that is, hurting our planet or hurting people or, crushing people.
Mm. So tell me, so when you're when you're a walker and you want to run a marathon,
mm-hmm.
you said you got to get a little bit better every day.
Mm-hmm.
So with your impossible of a workplace that's compassionate and justice, mm-hmm. where everyone discovers their potential and reaches their potential, what are some of the baby steps we take along the way?
Yeah. So, for me, it's, how can I support one leader at a time? So okay. That's kind of the baby step there. Mm-hmm. But if I was to dig even deeper into, what are those baby steps with a particular leader? It's first doing the work to understand who you want to be as a leader and who you are. So what are your values? What are your strengths? What are your contributions that you, and probably only you, can make? Sometimes it's hard to take time to do that reflection when, especially in our current economic environment, people are just go, 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 get all the tasks done. But I've had, clients come back where it was because they did that work that they were able to sustain the go, go, go and get things done. And they were able to do the right things that were aligned with their strengths, do the things where they could make the biggest impact.
Mm. This is really interesting, because I was looking at, you had sent me a link for one of your gifts for our listeners today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all focused on strengths. It was, and I was like, oh, interesting. There's nothing here about where my weakness is. What do I think, you know, my blind spots. So, and then what you're saying, it, when you said the baby steps you can take, you said, notice your values and your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, like, why is that the starting point for you?
Yeah. And for me, you know, throughout my career, it's been a bit of a winding path, but it has all been grounded in the belief that everyone has a unique contribution or contributions to make. So I found language in kind of the strengths-focused leadership that really spoke to that, because we're not all the same, thankfully. It'd be a little bit boring if we were all the same. We all have things that come really easily to us and give us energy, and we enjoy, and we can do with excellence. And those are our strengths. I focused there as opposed to, you know, what are you not good at and what you need to improve? Because when you're just going to get, you know, more bang for your buck, I guess, you know, when you focus on what you are good at, and then you find a way to, as a leader, surround yourself with people who have strengths that maybe aren't top strengths for you, that's when teamwork happens. That's when the beauty of people coming together happens.
Right. Okay. Okay. That makes sense to me. So you're focusing on your strengths because it gives you joy. You do it with excellence, with a lot of ease. And then you surround yourself with people who have other strengths, so you get the compliment.
Exactly.
Okay. That does make sense to me. But one of the things that you said to me before we started the recording that I was like, oh, that's a good one. You said where there's no challenge, there's no transformation. Talk to me about like how you hold both of those together.
Yeah. So it's when you're focusing on your strengths, it's not that you're not going to run into challenge. I mean, we all are faced with challenges every single day in all aspects of our lives, but it's how do you find a way to use those strengths to approach that challenge? And sometimes it's not you overcoming, many times it's not you overcoming the challenge yourself. It's in community finding the right combination of strengths that can overcome that challenge.
Oh, wow. I love that. So in your taking on the impossible, you start with you, your values, and your things you do with ease and joy that give you energy, make you feel good, and that you excel at. And you build this team of people who have other strengths. And as challenges come, and they will come in anything we want to do, you then look to the community to help figure out the challenge.
Yes.
Or elevate to rise to the challenge of the challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So you go from I to we.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So maybe if you can give us an example, I think with the Ironman, a physical task like that, where you have to hit a certain number to complete, you know, of each thing, it's very clear. But when your goal is, if you can give us an example from like the work world.
Where,
you know, I don't know, maybe it's a revenue goal, or maybe it's that you just want to serve more clients. I don't know what kinds of things people you've coached people through applying this, but can you give us an example?
Yeah, it's
or from your own life.
Sure. Yeah. Let me think. You know, I think back to my corporate career. I led a team that was focused on helping people to use data to make effective decisions. So, you know, we put together a summit where we brought together people from all over the company who were using data, who didn't know each other. And I, you know, really like to bring together people and teach them, but I didn't necessarily, I don't know that if this is a great example, but I didn't necessarily have a focus on engaging them and fun and, you know, everything that it takes to really bring a community together, and had team members who happened to excel at that. Team members who, you know, were more about, you know, kind of winning other people over and exciting people and energizing people. And together we were able to create an event that exceeded people's expectations. So that's just one example.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a clear one.
Yeah. It's amazing to see what can happen when people are really focusing in on what they are good at and how they can contribute to each other.
And I wonder if that's a feature of women's leadership, if women tend to do that a little bit more. You're nodding your head. Say more to us about
that. I am, you know, and I thought about that earlier as we were leading into this conversation. That is a skill that women tend to excel at, the relational aspect. And that's why I feel so passionate about supporting women to get into, you know, higher and higher leadership roles and to get more women into places where they are making decisions for organizations, because that is what is needed in our world today. There's so much uncertainty, so much volatility, so much, you know, just ambiguity, and that those problems are not going to be solved unless you have someone who's looking at, okay, how can we all combine together to tackle this challenge, as opposed to just, I know the right way and I'm going to tell you what you need to do so that we can do it.
Wow. I'm just really loving this conversation, and I'm thinking about, you know, I'm a solopreneur, as I think maybe you're a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. Or you have a small business, and I know a lot of people who listen to our show are, you know, founding projects, but they're like still working with very small teams. And so what you're saying about bringing people together to help, you know, round out your leadership, fill in where you know you don't have strength. I wonder how that applies to people who are founding, who are really working with tiny teams. I mean, for myself, for example, I know I hate, it takes me a long time to do some kinds of technical tasks. You know, I'm not a Canva genius. I'm not, you know, I don't know. There's just a whole bunch of stuff that I really don't really want to learn. So I do hire someone to help me out with that. So that's an example of what you're saying is building a team,
right?
Like that. But then how do you aim that at something impossible? Like, it's almost like maybe you need a leadership coach to help you think about what's the big, hairy, scary goal.
Right.
What's the Iron Man in your context?
Exactly. Not
that you have to get there in a year, but, you know, what is that big fire in you that would inspire you, knowing that you could just take a little step every day?
Yeah. I completely agree. You have to have that why if you're going to sustain your energy. And it's, I think, to your question about how do you surround yourself with people who have strengths when you are a solopreneur? I think definitely hiring someone like you were talking about. But there's also, you know, what communities can you be part of where in some way they can offer some support for those areas where you may not feel as strong? That's one way that I have handled it as well.
Can you, like, what? Like, give us an example of a community of support.
Yeah. So I'm part of a community. It's called the Sales Maven Society, but I knew sales was something that was going to be very challenging for me. Because I think had the typical, stereotype of, you know, being salesy is being pushy and bad. And this community is really focused on sales being all about relationships and building rapport. And so being part of the community, not that they're doing my sales for me, but I hear about their experiences, they can share their challenges and I can learn from that. And, you know, we can do role playing, things like that, that can help you to strengthen those areas that don't come as easily.
Yes. I was just thinking this morning about coaching, because to me, that's something else that a coach or mentor can help you with, where you don't have a, where you have like a mindset issue, where you have an internal limitation,
right?
You know, because of a belief you have that sales are bad or something.
But
can also help you chart your progress, because even in something like that, it's one little step at a time.
That's right. That's right. And a good coach will know you and be able to take that skill set that you want to work on and do it in a way that works for who you are as a person. So like I mentioned, like I wouldn't have a sales coach who was doing a really pushy approach. That would not be a good sales coach for me. It would be more someone who was more focused on relationships, or a coach who saw that I was more focused on relationships and was able to say, okay, these are the skills that we need to work on. This is how you can do it from your frame of reference and with where you're strong, how you can still do the same activity, but in a way that works for you.
That's so interesting. It takes us back to Iron Man. So maybe how you would run and how I would run would be different.
Oh, definitely.
You know, that marathon. I mean,
but a good coach can adjust.
Right. To what my body, because I've got a different body. You know, I've got a different history of body parts than you do.
Right.
Oh, and I also have a different internal limitation on how far I can run. So you just, wow. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Terry, is because of your, even the name of your company, Stronger to Serve, you know, obviously you're a values-centered person, and your business is about what is it meant to accomplish.
Right.
That's the center of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But before you had it as a business, you had a nonprofit that you started, again, with the mission at the center. Can you tell us, like, why you decided to lay down the nonprofit format and morph into a business format? Like, does that have something to do with your strengths, or was that just completely, you know, different issues?
Yeah, there, to be honest, were a lot of factors that went into it. I will start with my strengths, and then we can kind of dig into some of the other factors if you'd like. Just a little bit of history, the nonprofit, well, I'll go to the beginning of the nonprofit because it relates to the Ironman. So when I was thinking about doing the Ironman, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it because I knew how much time it took. Cause like I mentioned, my husband had done one in the previously and I had two small kids at home. And so I was really kind of on the fence of, do I want to make this commitment? Should I do this at this time? And my faith is really important to me. And at that time, I really felt a message kind of directly from God saying, well, make it about more than you and make it about becoming your best as a family. And so we focused that training period on getting our kids involved in the training as well, as much as they could. You know, they would ride their bikes while we were running, for example. And also volunteering in the community together. So really kind of becoming our best people. And I had a little Facebook page called Project Becoming Our Best, and it got a following. And I had a school teacher who said, you know, that I love that combination, like for well-being of volunteerism and physical fitness. I want to bring something like that into the school. So that was the beginnings of Stronger to Serve, the nonprofit. So it really focused on getting families together for their well-being, both physical, social, and community. And It grew and it definitely had an impact. But it didn't really grow in the way I wanted to. And I was kind of felt just like an event coordinator and was really kind of hungering for what I was doing in the corporate sector, which was leading teams and helping people to reach their potential to excel even in difficult environments. And so I started doing a little bit of coaching on the side, and then through some various factors, it turned out to be a good time to kind of lay down the nonprofit. And that was an incredibly difficult decision, because as you can imagine, I felt like it was something that I received a calling to do, and it felt a bit like a failure. But I really wanted, again, due to those other factors, we had, you know, unfortunately a death in my family and things like that, that led me to do the transition to really focus in solely on the business. And it hasn't been until just recently that I've kind of started to come to peace with that decision. And I think, you know, Marusha Murphy, she's going to be on my podcast in a little bit. I was listening to her on a podcast, and something she said about her transitions made me think, maybe I can look at each of these phases in my life, like the nonprofit phase, is like a beautiful painting that I added to a gallery somewhere, you know, and it's a painting that has beauty and it might have some pain in it, but it's part of my journey. And I can look at it and admire what's in there and start the new painting as well. That has helped me to start to come to terms with, you know, some of the grief that comes along when you're transitioning.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say out loud that there is grief,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you lay something down, when something comes to completion, when it ends, when it dies, when it's time to, you know, walk away from that painting, it is done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not going to keep working on it, mm-hmm. keep trying to make it better or adapt to the new situation.
Right.
Sometimes the answer is to say it's complete.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So for you, for grieving, is there anything you would say about your grieving process? Like, how are you grieving?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just keep coming back to that painting analogy. And it's taking time to look at that painting and see where the bright spots are, and what I can carry forward into the next painting from those bright spots, and what I can celebrate just for them being what they are. You know, it may not mean that I need to carry it forward, but I can celebrate what was positive about that. And then, so I think that helps with the grieving, and then just acknowledging that was a time, and it wasn't necessarily just a failure that I need, you know, I should hide under a sheet or something. Again, I'm thinking of the painting in my mind, but, instead is something that I can celebrate, be happy about, and yet still move on.
Yeah. So, I think relevant for us in so many things, like we may move on from a faith community.
Mm-hmm.
We may move on from a relationship, a friendship,
mm-hmm.
you know, we may move on from a romantic partnership or marriage, yeah. sometimes, you know, or, yeah. Or, you know, we have deaths in our families where we don't get to choose, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can choose to move on, or we can yeah. choose to keep staying in the regret of what we wish it could have been. Or,
right.
So, that love that analogy of the gallery, of appreciating, honoring, and maybe taking forward something into the next.
Mm-hmm.
So when you took forward the idea of Stronger to Serve, of serving mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. your next iteration as a business, well, how long have you been a business entity now?
Just since last December. So I was doing that coaching on the side, for 2 years prior to that. And of course, coached in my corporate career. But formally as a business, we laid down the nonprofit last December.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're really in month April. So we're just 4 months in.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like you've covered a lot of, emotional ground, you know, mindset ground. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not on the inside of your business, but on the outside, I also see, you establishing a space and a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, huge. That's so important, right?
Yeah.
So, so congratulations on.
Thank you.
Stepping forward.
Thank you.
Yeah. And also trusting yourself.
That comes and goes, I'll say.
Amen to that.
I think any solopreneur out there goes through the ups and downs of believing in yourself. Definitely comes from my faith as well, and from just having a village of support around
yes.
me, different coaches and different yeah. friends and clients and things like that.
Yes, yes, yes. A village of support. You know, I want to go back to what you said. You felt like you got a message from God to mm-hmm. Make it about more than you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you feel God's message to you is about in your current business format?
Mm-hmm.
Serve?
I think it's the same, actually. And I didn't even just realize that till you said it out loud. But it, you know, the times when I get in trouble in my business is when I am focused just on me and what I'm going to. I mean, yes, obviously you have to take care of yourself and develop your skill set and you continue to evolve, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about more about, well, what are they going to think about me? Or am I going to be accepted? Or are people going to want to work with me? Or am I going to make enough money to support myself? When I get stuck in those thoughts instead of who are those people out there that need what I have to offer and how can I find them and how can they find me? That's when the magic happens. Mm. So it is still about make it more than just about you.
Right. Wow. I feel like that's like, I mean, you know, we could just go home with that one. Because that one, when I've shifted out of what do they think of me? Am I good enough? Those mm-hmm. kinds of questions to one of my favorite questions used to be, how can I be of service here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can I be of service here? You know, another way to ask it in terms of what you said about, okay, how can I make this about more than me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who else? Yes. Help me to make
yeah.
this more about me than me, please. You know,
right.
I'm stuck in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it's about more than you, not to say mm-hmm. don't make it about you, but it's
right.
about more than you.
That's right.
You are part of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Wow. Mm. I want to go back to that feeling like I feel like a failure.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think if anybody has started anything or really lived any measure of time,
mm-hmm. right.
that judgment's going to come up. I have
sure.
failed. I feel mm-hmm. like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I wonder, like, what's your, and maybe that's why we don't articulate impossibles for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because we're afraid of. We don't want to feel those feelings.
Right.
So I guess I wonder, like, when you were training for the Ironman, surely you didn't have a good day every day.
No.
Okay. And maybe did you feel like a failure at any point in that process?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely on a regular basis.
Well, then how, what's the, what do you do with that? When
yeah.
that rises in you, what do you do with it?
You know, the first thought that comes to mind is keep moving.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, what step forward can you take? And I'm not saying that because that could sound like an avoidance of that feeling. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes there's healing in the motion forward, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
At least that's what I've found in my life. And again, I have to protect myself against just avoiding, you know, using it as an avoidance. And that's again why the painting image comes to my mind, because I still see those, you know, I kind of think of them as like red or black splashes of paint on there that maybe aren't that pretty. But how can you, through over time, learn to appreciate them?
Mm. Yeah. You know, I want to put something in here because maybe for people who are founders, entrepreneurs, you know, whether you are creating an organization or you're creating a volunteer event or mm-hmm. you're creating a business, there's probably something about us where we have a default or a tendency to keep moving forward because you mm-hmm. can't be an initiator if you don't have that inside of your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that we would tend to, we'll just keep putting the foot forward.
Mm.
Like that could be a strength. I mean, that is a strength mm-hmm. we have. And the thing is, and I will say that, like, for me, when it comes to working out or meditating,
mm-hmm.
just do it.
Mm-hmm.
The debate
mm-hmm.
about it,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to lose.
Right.
If I enter into a debate, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have to just not debate it. I'm going to do this walking thing. I'm going to go to this yoga class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this meditation. Bing bong.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and I'm thinking I'm probably a little bit older than you. One of the things I'm hitting in this point in my life, as I'm in my getting into my late 50s, is slow is good.
Yeah.
So who in here is unhappy or neglected? Meaning in here, inside of me.
Right.
So if I keep moving forward, I'm dragging resistance with me.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. You're right. I mean, and I think that comes back to, I mean, going again to an art gallery, you're standing, you see people standing there and looking and resting mm-hmm. and appreciating.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are times where just taking that next step is the right move, but there are times to sit back, to rest, to reflect so that you aren't, I love how you said that. So you're not dragging things with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And as you talk, I'm realizing too, for people, like one of the things, I used to be a sprinter. So my default is to move fast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When uncomfortable, to run.
Yeah, right.
It is not to slow down and deal with the dish, what is going on. It's like, oh, this is bad. Let me get out of here.
Yep. Yep. You know?
And obviously that has served me well, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm still alive, mm-hmm. you know, but it can't be the only tool in the toolbox because it also has burnt me out.
Yeah.
You know, it's also brought me to my knees, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go
mm-hmm.
for it anymore
mm-hmm.
because you are dragging so much behind you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if everything in this conversation is going to point back to coaching or community.
No.
But it kind of goes
back
to that.
I'm loving where it's going. Yeah.
It keeps going back to that. You know, you do need some outside support to help you see when is it time mm-hmm. to rest,
yes,
or to engage the parts of you that are resisting,
right,
digging in their heels and making it hard to move forward.
Yeah.
And when is it time to just, I got you, but I'm turning on the TV and doing my walking program anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
and then we can talk about it. Maybe that's what it is. It's like, okay, I promise I'm going to deal with this resistance, but right now I really need to meditate and then I'm mm-hmm. coming back to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what we need to do.
It is. Yeah. It's about knowing yourself. And I think as we, you know, go through life, we gain hopefully greater and greater knowledge of what we need at different times. But hopefully those around us who love us also gain that knowledge so that when we need the discipline to stop and reflect or to look at that painting, even though it's so painful and we just want to get out of there, and we don't have the discipline ourselves to stay there, that we have people around us who love us and can support us in staying there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, this conversation has gone so quick, Terry. I can't believe that we're kind of coming toward the end of our time mm-hmm. together. But before we do that, I want to give you a chance to share how people. What? Oh, yeah, you have something. Mm-hmm. You have a gift for us. So I wonder if you could talk about the gift you have for us.
Yeah, definitely. So I talked about the first step to really being an effective leader is spending some time getting to know your strengths, getting to know your values. So this gift are just some, it's just consists of some starter exercises to do just that. It's something you could spend 10 minutes on, or if you really want to go deep, you could spend more time than that, probably a couple of weeks. And it's really helpful to do with a coach, but you can definitely do it on your own. And people can find that at strongertoserve.com/leadership voice workbook.
Leadership voice workbook. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I even love that title, because when you know your strength, you probably will have more of a voice.
Yeah. And people know who you are as a leader and what to expect from you. And that's how your team gains stability, when they mm-hmm. know how you're going to make decisions, when they know, you know, what they can expect from you, that mm-hmm. that comes from doing that inner work first.
Oh my gosh. That makes a lot of sense to me. If people know, for example, that I'm intuitive, I'm very creative, I come with a lot of ideas, we're not going to do them all, but I do say them all out loud. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, we're not going to do them all. I mean, that could add stability. Yeah. So everybody knows how to listen.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. And that starts building trust, and trust is the key to surviving anything that, you know, our environment throws at us.
Hmm. And that's another one. Trust is the key. Here's a statement I've been working with. Go at the speed of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place to build trust is within myself.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then you get to the other relationships that you need to build trust with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can get to the power of community. Without that, community is not going to happen, and it's not going to have the power that it could.
Very. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Terry. Yeah. Thank you for being on the show today. Wow. Thank you for listening to your inner guidance.
Oh, well, I'm honored to be here today, and I just really appreciate you again inviting me and welcoming me.
Mm-hmm. And so everyone listening to the Mother Tree Network podcast, mm-hmm. Thank you for listening in today. Be sure to pick up your free gift at strongertoserve.com/leadership voice workbook. Leadership voice workbook. I'll also put it in the show notes. And I hope that you'll take with you about making it bigger than you, or don't make it about just you,
mm-hmm.
but what is your impossible? Just give that some thought. All right. Peace and love, everybody.
So wasn't that a great interview? Are you ready to get your free download from Terry on so you can identify your values and your strengths and create and collaborate around that basis rather than, you know, what you're lacking or what you're afraid of? If so, go ahead to my website, dramandakemp.com, dramandakemp.com. And let me tell you this, if you are interested or thinking about becoming a part of the Mother Tree Network community, our doors are open again, so please check it out. I have a whole tab for you waiting on the website, the Mother Tree Network Community. All right. Love and peace to you, and see you next time.